Will you please turn to the book of Revelation? Revelation chapter 14. We read from verse 1 through verse 5. Revelation chapter 14, verse 1. And I saw and behold the Lamb standing upon Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his name and the name of his Father written upon their foreheads. And I heard a voice out of the heaven, as a voice of many waters, and as a voice of great thunder. And the voice which I heard was of harp singers harping with their harps. And they sing a new song before the throne, and before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one could learn that song, save the 144,000 who were bought from the earth. These are they who have not been defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they who follow the Lamb wheresoever it goes. These have been bought from men as first fruits to God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was no lie found, for they are blameless. Especially verse 4. The middle part. These are they who follow the Lamb wheresoever it goes. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. Through 20. And walking by the Sea of Galilee, he, that is our Lord Jesus, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he says to them, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they, having left their trawl nets, immediately followed him. The Gospel according to John, chapter 21. John 21. We begin with verse 17 through verse 20. Through verse 22. He says to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonas, art thou attached to me?" Peter was grieved, because he said to him the third time, "Art thou attached to me?" And said to him, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I am attached to thee." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say to thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest where thou desirest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and bring thee where thou dost not desire." But he said this, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And having said this, he says to him, "Follow me." Peter, turning around, sees the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who also leaned at supper on his breast, and said, "Lord, who is it that delivers thee up?" Peter, seeing him, says to Jesus, "Lord, and what of this man?" Jesus said to him, "If I will that he should abide until I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me." Let us have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we do want to thank Thee for giving us such privilege to attend the table of Thy Son. How we praise and thank Thee for the blood that is shed for the remission of our sins. How we thank Thee for the body that is broken for us, that we may be united with Thee in Christ. Lord, we thank Thee for all Thy love and grace and mercy that Thou hast so bountifully bestowed upon us. And Lord, as we continue in Thy presence, we do desire to hear Thy voice. Speak to us, to each of us, and call us to follow Thee. We ask in Thy precious name. Amen. Lately, I have been burdened before the Lord about this matter of following the Lamb. Especially in these last days, I believe this is something of tremendous importance. In Revelation chapter 14, John saw a vision, and that vision is related to the last time. It is related to the coming of our Lord Jesus. And because of this, it is a vision that we need to see today. He saw on Mount Zion, and that is not the Mount Zion on earth. It is the Mount Zion in heaven. He saw the Lamb on Mount Zion. That is to say, he saw our Lord Jesus, the Lamb who was slain, but resurrected, and standing in the midst of the throne. He saw the Lamb on Mount Zion, the place of authority, the place of rulership, because Mount Zion is where David set his throne, and a greater than David is on the throne today. But the Lamb was not there alone. He saw there 144,000 with him. Now there are a number of descriptions about these 144,000. And I believe every one of these descriptions are very important. These 144,000, I believe, is a full number. It is not a mechanical figure, but it means fullness. The multiple of 12. There is a full number of people who are privileged to stand with the Lamb on Mount Zion. They have all their foreheads the name of God and of the Lamb. It means not only they belong to God and to the Lamb, but it also means that they are people who confess the name of the Father and of the Son, our Lord Jesus. Now you remember our Lord said, if you confess me on this earth, I will confess him before my Father and before the angels. So these are people who not only believe in the Lord Jesus, belong to the Lord Jesus, but these are people who confess the Lord while they are on earth. And John said he heard a loud voice. It is like the voice of many waters, the voice of thunders. Now, if we read the Old Testament, we find when God's voice was heard, it was like thunders, and it was like many waters. And this is the voice that John heard. But strangely, you find, even though it is such a majestic, overpowering voice, and yet it is like the voice of harp singers, harping with their harps. And you know, when you think of harp, harp is a heart music. When they play on the harp, it is like you are playing on the strings of your heart. So it is sweet, tender. And yet you find a combination. Not only so majestic, but it is so sweet. And these 144,000, this voice comes from these 144,000. And they are singing a new song. They sing a new song unto the Lamb. And this new song, no one can learn. It is not a matter of how much musical talent you have. It is a music they learn through their life experience. The music is composed by their experiences, and it is sung out of their heart. And these are the people who are bought from the earth. They are bought from man to be the first fruits unto God. They are virgins. They are espoused to one man, Jesus Christ. And they are kept pure for him. They are blameless. In their mouth you do not find any lie. They are truthful. But one thing that really touches my heart, and that is, they all follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These 144,000, while they are on earth, they follow the Lamb wherever the Lamb goes. They do not choose their own way. They choose the Lamb. Whether the way of the Lamb leads to life, or the way of the Lamb leads to death, they follow. Whether the way is popular or it is something despised, they follow the Lamb. Whether the way is strewed with roses or it is filled with thorns, they follow the Lamb. In other words, they do not choose where they go. Not because the way suits them, they choose it. No. They just follow the Lamb. Whether it is popular, or whether it is lonely, they follow the Lamb. They not only follow the Lamb for a time, they follow all the way, from the beginning to the end. And they follow the Lamb as one multitude, 144,000. Now this marks all the 144,000 who one day will stand with the Lamb on Mount Zion. And brothers and sisters, it is my prayer that by His grace we may be among the rank. Now, in order to illustrate what happened to these 144,000, I feel maybe we can pick one out of the 144,000 and try to see how he is led by the Lord to go this way. And to me, I feel there is none that is clearer than Peter. So this morning, we would like to meditate together on Peter, one among the 144,000, and see how in his life he followed the Lamb wherever the Lamb goes. Peter, he was led to the Lord by his brother, Andrew. You know, you remember that John the Baptist, while he was standing there with his two disciples, Andrew and the other one, most likely John, and when John the Baptist saw the Lord Jesus walking by, he said, "Behold the Lamb." And these two left their master and follow Jesus. When Jesus turned around and said, "Now, what do you want?" Their answer is, "Where do you live?" I think that is the strangest answer. Where do you live? What do you want? Where do you live? In other words, all they want is to be with Jesus. That's what they want. They want to be with him. The Lord said, "Come and see." And being with the Lord Jesus, they knew the Lord Jesus as the Christ, the Messiah, the promised one. So Andrew, he went to find his brother Simon and brought Simon to our Lord Jesus. And when our Lord Jesus looked at him, you find that in John chapter 1, the Bible says the Lord looked at him. Now the word "look" there is not just a glance. It is a looking into his very being. Look him up and down and look him through. The Lord just looked at him. And the look made Simon speechless. Now, brothers and sisters, we know Simon was very talkative. And he usually was the first one who talked. But the first encounter with our Lord Jesus, when our Lord looked at him and really looked into his very, very being, he was speechless. Because his whole life was exposed before the Lord. The Lord saw him through and through. And yet the Lord said, "You are Simon. That's what you are. That's what you are naturally are. Fragile. Impulsive. Unsteady. But I can transform you. You shall not be called Simon. You shall be called Peter. A stone. I will transform you. I will come into your life and make you a different person." And because of this, Peter believed in him. and began to keep company with our Lord Jesus. Now, dear brothers and sisters, is that not the same way that we start with our Lord Jesus? One day, when we are brought face to face with our Lord, how He looked through us. Before Him, we became speechless. We knew we were sinners, and yet the Lord said, I will come to you. I will give you new life. I will change you, transform you into someone that is valuable to God. And it is because of this that we have become believers in Jesus Christ. He is the only one who can change a person. You know, in this world, you can change anything but yourself and others too. The Lord is the only one who is able to change us. From Simon to Peter. And because of this, we believe in Him. We know that He is the Christ, the Anointed One. He is the Son of God. And we begin to keep company with Him. But you remember at that time, Peter and some others, even though they believe in Him and they travel with Him somewhat, but actually did not accompany Him all the time. Not until sometime later, when John the Baptist was imprisoned, then our Lord Jesus began to call disciples. So our Lord walked by the Sea of Galilee, and He saw the two sons of Peter and his brother. They were fishing. They were casting their nets because they were fishermen. And when the Lord saw them, the Lord said, come after me. I will make you fishers of men. I have a higher work, a greater work, a more useful work for you to do. Come after me. I will make you fishers of men. And when they heard the call, they left their boat, their nets, and followed the Lord. And in a sense, that's how we also begin. You know, we are not only called to believe, we are called to follow. We are not only to be believers who believe in the Lord Jesus as our Savior. We are also called to be disciples, learners, followers, to follow the Lord, to learn of Him. Now Peter, when he heard the call, I wonder what he thought. I'm a fisherman. I fish fish. Now the master called me to be a fisher of men. A greater work. A more noble work. A spiritual work. Now the Lord is calling me to a higher occupation. So Peter, he began to follow the Lord and try to learn the trade. How do you fish men? But to his surprise, I believe, as he began to keep company with the Lord all the time, watch him, stay with him, heard him, saw him, gradually it dawned upon him that he actually was called not just to learn a trade, a spiritual work. Actually, if he wants to do a spiritual work as a fisher of man, first of all, he has to be changed. He actually is called to learn a life. The Lord called him to be with him, to learn of him. So as Peter watched our Lord Jesus, the more he watched the Lord Jesus, the more he found he was an unfit. The Lord was so different. It was beyond him to learn the Lord. And because of this, after some while, he was actually thinking of quitting. Now, how do we know? Because in Luke chapter 5, you find that the Lord with his disciples came to Capernaum. Now, that is Peter's city. So when the Lord came back to Peter's own city, you know what Peter did? He went fishing. He went back to fish, to do his own business. And he fished for whole night, but he got nothing. I think that's the providence of God. And in the daytime, the Lord began to preach to the people, and there was such a multitude, so the Lord borrowed Peter's boat and said, now let me use your boat and my platform, and so I will not be crowded by the people. So the Lord began to speak on the boat, Peter's boat. And after he finished speaking, the Lord said, now draw the boat to the deep and cast down for a haul. Now why did the Lord do that? I believe the Lord knew Peter's heart. He knew Peter was thinking of slipping away. Now if you really want to slip away, then I have no right to use your boat. I have to pay because I have used your boat. So the Lord was going to pay for renting his boat for preaching. So the Lord said, you go to the deep and cast down for a haul. Now Peter looked at the Lord and said, Master, fishing I know much better than you do. I have fished all night and got nothing. But to respect you as my master, I'll do that. In other words, he did it without believing he can catch anything. But to his surprise, full of fishes. And he had to call his companions, John and James, and their boat to come and fill the two boats with fishes. Now when Peter saw this miracle, he realized who the Lord really was. He knelt before the Lord and said, Lord, I'm a sinner. Depart from me. I'm totally unworthy. But the Lord knows his heart. You know, sometimes our words sound different from our heart. Now there are two possibilities. One is we are not telling the truth. And the other is the truth is so too deep to be told. It has to be told in a negative way. Now I don't know whether you understand me or not. You know, sometimes there is something very deep in you. You cannot really explain it, but your tone will explain it, not your words. So when you hear people talking, listen to the tone. The words may be entirely different, but the tone is the truth. You know, you need to hear the tone. And the Lord heard the tone. When Peter said, "Depart from me, I'm a sinner, I'm totally unworthy." Actually, what the Lord heard was, "I do want to follow you. I have seen your word now, but it's impossible with me. If you will take me, you can make me so." Now that is really what is in the heart of Peter. You know, when you see the glory of the Lord, your desire is you want to follow him. But you know at the same time how unfit, how unworthy you are. It's now all up to the Master. He alone is able to transform. There is nothing in you that makes you worthy or fitting. Now that is the feeling of Peter. He was despair of himself. Totally despair of himself. But seeing the Lord, seeing his glory, he knows the Lord is able to do that. If the Lord would take him. So even though he said, "Depart from me," actually he means, "Please take me." And the Lord said, "Fear not. Fear not. Follow me. You will catch me. I will do it for you." Dear brothers and sisters, do you think follow the Lamb is natural for us? Follow a wild beast is natural for us. Follow the Lamb is all contrary to our human nature. Do you think follow the Lord is easy? The more you know the Lord, the harder it becomes. It is impossible with man. But we do not realize it in the beginning. We think we can do it. We can learn of him. And we can learn the trade. Do the spiritual work. We are very enthusiastic, very confident. We can make it, but try. You try it, keeping company with the Lord, close company with him, and gradually it dawns upon you, it's impossible. It is only when you realize it is impossible with man, then you come to see with God. With God, all things are possible. And that's the way we follow the Lamb. Sooner or later, brothers and sisters, the test will come. Sooner or later, you begin to feel it is too hard. You want to slip away. But thank God, He showed you His glory. When He shows you His glory, you will be like Peter. I'm a sinner. Depart from me. But please take me. And the Lord said, fear not. I'm able to. And from that time onward, Peter began to follow closely the Lord. You remember in John chapter 6, when a great multitude followed the Lord because they were fed with 5 loaves, 2 loaves, two loaves and 5 fishes. The 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And they were so enthusiastic about the Lord. Oh, they sought the Lord. When the Lord was on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, they crossed the sea and followed the Lord. And the Lord began to speak the truth to them. You do not seek for the food that will perish. Seek the food that will not perish. I am the bread of life, the bread from heaven. My blood can be drunk and my flesh can be eaten. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. And when the Lord was speaking the truth to them, they said, "Why, that's too hard. We don't understand." And the Bible said, many of his disciples left him and did not walk with him anymore. Then the Lord turned to the 12 and the Lord said, "Do you also want to go? Feel free." And Simon Peter said, "Lord, where should we go? You have the word of life, eternal life. We believe you are the Holy One of God. Where can we go? We are stuck with you." Brothers and sisters, it is because Peter, he knew, even though it was impossible with man, it was possible with God. He might not understand what the Lord was saying. But he believed. He trusted the Lord. He was stuck with the Lord. He had no alternative. Brothers and sisters, do we have alternatives? If we really see the glory of the Lord, if we really know He has the word of eternal life, we are finished. There is no more choice, no more alternatives. We may not understand, but we stick with Him. Wherever He goes, we go. for 3 years and so. Peter followed the Lord. Learning the Lord. Learn the life of the Lord. Learn the life that the Lord gives to him. For 3 years and so, he followed closely the Lord and learned. Dear brothers and sisters, the Lord calls us to follow him. Not follow any man, not follow any system, not follow any teaching. The Lord calls to follow him, a person, divine person. Follow him as the Lamb, meek and lowly. We learn of him. That's what a disciple is. We are all here following him, seeing him, not seeing any man, not just learning some teaching or even learning some technique of doing spiritual work. We are learning him. Follow the Lamb. Learning his life. How he lives, we live. What he does, we do. Wherever he goes, we go. Learning him in life. That's what disciples are. The more you follow him, the more you'll find he is so different. Altogether different. Many things in your life has to be changed, to be dropped. His character will gradually be formed in you. He is changing you. And that is discipleship. But dear brothers and sisters, when our Lord began to reveal to his disciples, "I'm going to Jerusalem, will be rejected, will be killed, but on the third day I will rise from the dead." And Peter said, "Lord, I love you. I'm willing to die with you. Wherever you go, I'll go. Even unto death." The Lord said, "Peter, before the cock crow twice, you would deny me thrice." Peter couldn't believe it. None of the disciples could believe it. But it happened. He followed the Lord in life, but he failed to follow the Lord in death. He loved his own life too much. Not that he does not love the Lord, but he loved his own life too much. You know, sometimes we can give up everything, but We can give up our boat, our net. But when it comes to giving up ourselves, it's hard. Our thought, our opinion, our understanding, our success, our position, our pride, our righteousness, our integrity, our very life, brothers and sisters, it is something we have to learn. When our Lord took his three disciples into the garden of Gethsemane, the Lord asked these three disciples to watch with him. As he went forward to pray, there in the garden of Gethsemane, our Lord said, "Father, if it is possible, let this cup be removed from me, but not my will, your will be done." And how he struggled in the garden. His sweat came down as blood. And an angel had to appear to support him. Otherwise, he would die in the garden before Calvary. What is the struggle there? It is the struggle to give up himself, his holy self. It is something hard for us to understand. All his life, he denied himself. Now, why is it at the last moment he seemed to shrink back? No, brothers and sisters. Because at that time, he was going to be the sin bearer. All the sin of the world will be upon him. He will be sin. He who knows no sin becomes sin for us. In other words, he will be sin. To such a holy person, that's unbearable. Unbearable. But he took it. He gave himself up in order to save you and me. Brothers and sisters, why is it Peter denied the Lord three times? Because he did not watch and pray. The Lord said, "Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation." If you do not watch and pray, you will be tempted and you will fail. Our Lord watched and prayed, but Peter didn't. So when the temptation came, he denied the Lord. Dear brothers and sisters, if we follow the Lamb wherever he goes, it is not just follow him in life. It is also following him in death. The Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, to know him and the power of his resurrection. I think everybody wants to know the power of his resurrection. But to know the power of his resurrection is for fellowship with his sufferings and conform to his death. To know the Lord in life is that we may follow him in death. That we may really give ourselves up completely for the Lord. That we may rise with him in victory. So, brothers and sisters, we need to follow. Follow the Lamb wherever he goes. If he goes for life, thank God for that. If he goes to death, that's where we go. That's following the Lord. And thank God, the Lord prayed for him. He did not watch, but the Lord watched. The Lord recovered him. You know, at the resurrection of the Lord, when the Lord sent a message to the disciples through the women, he said, "And Peter, tell Peter." And the Lord appeared to Peter alone. We do not know what happened there. And the Lord not only appeared to Peter alone to restore him, he even restored him before his companion. The Lord asked him, "Do you really love me?" You know, when the Lord said, "Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me more than these?" These are the fire, the companions, the bread, the fish, your life. You love these more than me? Peter dare not say he loved him. That absolutely. So Peter said, "I'm attached to you. I have good feeling about you." And the Lord asked him the second time, "Simon, do you love me?" No comparison, but love me. Peter again knew his weakness. He said, "Lord, you know I'm attached to you." And for the third time, the Lord said, "Are you really attached to me?" Peter was grieved. He said, "Lord, you know everything. You know I'm attached to you." And the Lord said, "When you are young, you go wherever you want to. But when you are old, people will gird you and take you to the place where you do not desire." And he speaks of Peter's death. In other words, even though he failed to follow the Lord in death, the Lord restored him. And filled him with his love. That eventually Peter will be able to follow the Lord even unto death. And I think we all know the story. When they want to crucify Peter, Peter said, "I'm not worthy. My Lord was crucified. Crucify me upside down." And the Lord said, "Follow me." The first call to follow is the call to follow him in life. Now the second call is follow him in death. Brothers and sisters, are we following him? It may not be a physical death, but it is a crucifixion of self. We need to have ourselves crucified. Otherwise, we cannot follow the Lord all the way. Peter failed because he followed the Lord at a distance. After the Lord was arrested, he fled, he came back. But he followed at a distance. You know, when you follow at a distance, you are in trouble. You have to follow him closely, step by step. So Peter started to follow the Lord. And then he looked back and he saw another one. the one whom Jesus loved was also following. So Peter said, "Lord, what of it? I'm following you. But what about this man? Will he follow you to death just as I am?" The Lord said, "If I want him to live until I come, what is that to you? Follow you me." Brothers and sisters, following the Lord is on one hand intensely personal. You follow the Lord. It doesn't matter what happened to the others. You know, we sometimes look around and say, "Well, how about this person? What about that person?" It is as if this or that person, they will affect my following the Lord. Truly, if you look at other people, you will be affected. Why is it that I have to follow the Lord to death and he is going to live? The Lord said, "It is not something for you to consider. It's my business. If I want him to live until I come, what is that to you?" And because of this word, you know, there's a rumor going around that John never died. But it doesn't mean that. Only it means that the Lord said, "It is my prerogative. It has nothing to do with you." How many brothers and sisters are affected by considering others? That slows you down. That makes you stop. That will detract you. In following the Lord, it is intensely personal. You see nobody but the Lord himself. The Lord said, "You follow me." The Lord will take care of others. But on the other hand, following the Lord, you're never alone. You think you're alone. There is a multitude, 144,000. They are all following the Lord wherever he goes. So, dear brothers and sisters, what the Lord spoke to my heart is here you have find three calls of following. One call is to follow him to life. The second call is following him to death. And the third call is to follow him just him, not thinking about anybody else. That's the way to follow him. So may the Lord help us. Shall we pray? Dear Lord, it is a cry of our hearts that by thy grace we may be among those 144,000 who will stand with thee on Mount Zion. O Lord, we know that we are unfit and unworthy, but we also know that we are able. So this morning we want to commit ourselves to thee. Lord, we are committed to thee. We are committed to follow thee. wherever you go. If it means more life, thank God. If it means deeper death, Lord, enable us to follow. We pray that our eyes will be set on you and you alone. And to our surprise, we find ourselves with 144,000. Oh Lord, we just pray that these words may really be used by thy Spirit to encourage us to press on towards the goal. Thou art our goal. We worship you. In the name of our Lord Jesus.